Good evening. I'd like to call this joint meeting with the City of Fife and Port of Tacoma to order. I'm Don Meyer, President of the Port Commission, and I would like to start the meeting with the flag salute. If you all would please stand and join me in the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. What I'd like to do before we go around for self-introductions is I'd like to thank Mayor Roscoe and Commissioner Petridge for suggesting this meeting. This really came about, I think, at another meeting where you had heard from Connie's presentation by the tribe. And so I just want to say, you know, I'm glad when I look at the agenda items, I think it's a great agenda for us to be coming together in a joint meeting. I guess the last one was in August of 2016, so it's been a little while. I think the items that we have of interest, in addition to the Puyallup Tribal Canoe Journey, also the port's upcoming anniversary. We're celebrating our 100th anniversary this year. And then in a vision, I think, a better tomorrow with better roads and infrastructure and less congestion. So those are the topics we have on the agenda, but what I'd like to do is maybe, Mayor, turn it over to you, and then we can go around for introductions.
Thank you. Mayor Roscoe from the City of Fife, and I am grateful also to Claire for suggesting that we have this meeting. And it was actually a City of Tacoma individual that even let me know that the presentation was happening at the Joint Municipal Action Committee meeting. And this is really a big deal. And I think that recognizing our opportunity to help you showcase our region and your reservation, I just think that we need to do our best to support you and take an opportunity to volunteer where needed and work together on this. So thank you very much for again giving this presentation, and I know that Clint, you indicated, I said, I met you at the Joint Municipal Action Committee meeting, and he said, well, you know, we're doing so many presentations at this point, so he didn't remember. Right? All on top of planning an event, so yes. Thank you. And I'm glad that we were also able to bring agenda items to this joint meeting that affect all of us, transportation and the Port of Tacoma celebration. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. Claire Petridge, and you know, when we heard the story of the canoe journey, we just thought we would save you two special presentations by bringing the City of Fife and the Port Commission together. So we're grateful to you to bring us together, and I hope you're grateful to us because now you have one less. Well, welcome. It is such a joy to have you here, and it's such a joy to have our friends from Fife here because we always learn new and interesting things when we get together. So I'm Claire Petridge, and I'm on the Port Commission.
My name is Lou Wolfram. I want to welcome the tribe too. I'm very, very, very glad you're here. I know this is very, very important. Historically, I don't know if most people know, but the first movie ever taken in the Northwest was of these canoes they were over off of Alki Point, and this was in 1910. And so I know this is very historical, and I really, really appreciate us giving us the opportunity to be part of this, and I hope we will do our best to make this successful. So thank you. Again, I'm Lou Wolfram from the City of Fife.
Thank you so much. Commissioner.
I'm Juliette Campbell. I'm the clerk.
Dick Marzano, Commissioner. I'm really looking forward to the presentation.
Thank you.
Don Johnson, Port Commissioner, experienced paddler.
It's not easy.
That's right.
Thank you.
I'm Pat Halsey, one of the council members, City of Fife.
Tim Curtis, one of the council members, City of Fife. And Lou, I wasn't around in 1910 like you were to see it.
Okay, John. I'm John Wolf. I'm the CEO of the Port of Tacoma.
My name is Young Kim. I'm the city manager for the City of Fife.
Clinton McLeod, I work for our culture department for the Puyallup Tribe.
Andrea Bob, I work Canoe Journey Event Assistant, so I'm helping in planning this bit.
Good.
Chester Earl, I'm the community event planner for the Puyallup Tribe. I'm also the chairman of the Canoe Committee. I've had the opportunity to travel with John and Claire to China some years back on a canoe, well, dragon boat journey then, but it's good to be back in your graces and ready to help plan this event.
My name is Connie McLeod. I'm the culture director for the Puyallup Tribe. I've also been the captain and the caretaker of our Puyallup canoe family for the last 22 years, and I was one of the first people that Claire called and said, can we do this? And I said, yes. So we went to Fuzhou, China.
And had a blast.
And we had a good time.
John McCarthy, new commissioner since January, my second time around. And you're right, the four of us traveled to China together in 2001. I will tell you that three members of our group had nicknames attached to them. One was Barbie, that happened to be my daughter. Another was Michael Jordan, who happened to be an African-American gentleman that worked for the port.
Carl Benson.
And the third was Buddha. And I won't tell you who that
was. These didn't pay for nothing.
they got a lot of attention, though.
Wow, this has been real informative, and very descriptive in a variety of ways. But it also is, I think, a reminder of the fact that, you know, we're all sitting here representing different organizations. But the reality is the people that work together and live in this community, we've got to work together and make it a better community for everybody. And that, to me, is the most important thing about the agenda this evening. I also think, though, that I appreciate Connie McLeod coming here as a cultural director of the Puyallup Tribe, because the reality in my mind is that, you know, the way I understand it, and Connie, you can correct me, the true name of Puyallup has a lot of meaning relative to gentle and welcoming people.
Generous.
And that has always stuck with me in terms of the interactions I've had over the years. And I'm just a very appreciative. This is it's always a historic event. And I will share a little bit, though, also, I have members of my family who have been doing this canoe trip quite a few years. They're members of the Stillaguamish tribe. And so I will also like to be welcoming them when they come in. That's an important thing for me, just personally. And so we all have learned something, perhaps, coming around this table. But again, I think it's very special you're here this evening, Connie, and your group and delegation. So with that, I'd like to suggest we turn it over to you for your presentation.
I'd like to thank all of you for being here. And I also want to say that I'm a former Puyallup Tribal Council member, worked with many of the people in this community during our land claim settlement. That was a really important time for all of us. I have worked for the tribe for more than 40 years, but some time ago we participated in a canoe journey going to Victoria, British Columbia. We shared a canoe. We went with a Suquamish canoe family, and Chester was a very young man. I was a very young person myself, 20-some years ago. And there in Victoria Harbor, we were welcomed to that gathering of canoes. And one of the reasons why I went there and was a part of things was we were looking for how to help our community, how to help our young people and our families. I had an aunt that lived right here on East 34th and East T Street. I have a cousin that was 16 years old. My daughter was 16 at the time. I have a nephew that was 16 and a bunch of nieces and nephews all about the same age. It was a Sunday evening. He heard something outside his bedroom. He was playing Nintendo, stood up, and he was shot and killed. It was the beginning of the impact of gang violence in our community. Wasn't the beginning of violence, but it was the beginning of the gang activity that was continuing to happen for our youth and our families. And so we prayed when we went to Victoria. And someone, the Creator, and people heard us. The following year, then, I began getting phone calls. I missed several, but we were sitting at a ceremony, and I said, these people keep calling me, and I'm not real sure what they want, but it feels real positive. Well, they wanted to talk to us about a canoe. So by President's Day in February, we took a small delegation to the a community of First Nations just west of Victoria, to the Selk people. They wanted to talk to us about canoes. They also had a carver built a canoe and did it to confirm and recognize their treaty rights to help their people. But they lost the funding to keep their carver. So they wanted to sell their canoe and so that they could keep their carver employed. But by the time we got there, they said, no, we can't do that. But what we will do is commission and we'll make you a canoe. And so they did. By May, we were doing a blessing of the log ceremony there in Sauk. And by July, our canoe had come home. Our carver was a master carver. Our canoe had never been in the water. It was born right here at Clark's Creek on Puyallup River, went into the river and out to the mouth. And so also then began to know the salt water. That year we went out to Quileute. They had a gathering, and we had been up all night for their final night of potlatching, and Chester and I were awake at about 7 o'clock in the morning, and Chester says, can we do that next year? And we said, okay. We put our hand in the pot and said, we're going to host next year. So in 1998, we hosted the Power Paddle to Puyallup in 1998. So this is actually our 20th anniversary of hosting the Power Paddle to Puyallup. I've been asked, are you guys ever going to host a journey? And I said, oh no, we already did that. 1998, 20 canoes was easy to do. 2 years ago, in Nisqually, the people who were from Bella Bella that really began the insurgents said, you know that 2018 is still open. Nobody has taken that time. You really should consider this for your 20th anniversary. We talked to some of our council people. And again, we got a lot of support. We put through our hat in the ring, and here we are. I stopped counting days at about 90 days, or less than that, to July 28th. We will host, right now we have 82 canoes already registered. Last year there were 89 in Port Campbell, British Columbia. So we've already almost met that number of people. We expect to have 125 canoes, and we probably will exceed that. We are expecting 10,000 plus people to come and visit us. Our canoe journey that will begin in the early part of July, people from up north. Bella Bella is 800 miles by land from here, and they always travel. They're on the water for about 30 days. There are canoes coming from Alaska. There are representatives coming from California, Oregon, Washington. We have volunteers coming from all across the area here. The International Order of Longshoremen have already committed to volunteer, and they've invited the Longshore Union from New Zealand to be here, and I've been in communication with several of their people. They are coming also to share with us and volunteer and help out. So in, I try to tell myself, so in just a couple of minutes, I gave you a real brief overview. We have a very good PowerPoint that Andrea Bob, our event assistant coordinator, will present for you. And then we'll continue our conversation from next door and answer more questions.
I'm going to move up. I don't want to talk because you guys behind my back like that.
So I made this presentation to just kind of give an overview as to what Canoe Journey is for people who don't really know what to expect and what it's going to look like when you help. So, and we're 74 days out. I'm still counting. So my measures, I just came from Brickle Lodge with my family, so I came straight there to here to see you guys. What is Canoe Journey? It's an annual Native American traditional canoe gathering that takes place along the west coast of Washington in Canada. It's now going into California next year also, so it's ever-growing. Beginning of the canoe journey. In 1989, Element Oliver revitalized the centuries-old tradition of canoeing by organizing the Paddle of Seattle as part of Washington State's centennial ceremony. His dedication of launching this revival of tradition now continues more than a quarter century later and is now known as Canoe Journey. Tribes up and down the West Coast come together each year to celebrate this event. So this is an overview of the map. At each point on this map is a stop in which the tribe or band will host the canoes for 1 to 2 days, depending. It changes each year, depending on what the tribe along the way wants to host. During that time, they will provide food, camping, and either protocol or jam sessions. I'll explain the protocol in a minute. So, say here, the canoes will come in, they'll go from there to there, and then they'll stay there 1 to 2 nights, depending on how long they're hosting, and then they'll pull down. And then there's one route here, there's many routes, and then they'll all land in one location. This is an older map, but you know, this year they'll land down in Puyallup. At each stop, there's a landing, and the landing is, the canoes will come up and they'll ask to come ashore, they'll introduce themselves, and then somebody from the hosting tribe will welcome them ashore and say, yes, come ashore, we'll feed you. At each stop, some tribes do it, some don't, but we definitely will do it. There's something called a protocol. Right here is the protocol list. Each tribe will sign up and they'll do their songs and their dances. Traditionally, it's the people that have traveled the furthest that'll go up first. So for us, it'll likely be Alaska and Canada that'll do their protocol. And then the second to the last will be the tribe that will host the following year. And then on the last day, we'll do our protocol. This is a picture of people in our canoe family, and that is actually Clinton's daughter. So this is an overview of last year. Last year there was 87 canoe families. This probably isn't all of them, but this is at their landing, and we're expecting over 120. We have 82 registered today, and I've been in contact with some of the skippers in Canada, and they're saying there's at least 10 to 20 canoe families in Canada alone that haven't registered. They're seeing record numbers of canoe families that are registering to come down here to our hosting. The dates for our event will be July 28th through August 4th. This is kind of an overview of what those days will look like. The 28th, the canoes will land. The 29th is when protocol begins. And those next few days there will be all the tribes doing their protocols all throughout the day, going nonstop. And then on the last day, we'll do our songs and dances. our closing ceremonies, and we'll end with a giveaway for everybody. We have a website, paddlegolf.org. We're constantly updating it. You can get news updates. You can, if you know anybody that wants to sign up to volunteer, they can do that on the website. Any families can do it online, and they'll log in on the back and update it. But this also has a list, if you go to the website, it has a list of all the canoe families that are currently registered. It'll say their tribe and the name of their canoe. And we're still seeking people to apply to for jobs, so that's on the website. We're going to have live canoe tracking on here also. So we bought things called inreaches that we're going to put either in the support boats, because each canoe travels with a support boat, most of them, or we're going to give them the canoes to go in there, and you'll be able to see where they're at in live time. I think they update every 10 minutes or so, so you'll be able to see them as they come closer. Our protocol site, this is where we're going to feed everybody. We're going to provide breakfast and dinner. And this is where all the song and dance will be, which is an extended protocol. We're going to have vendors, and this is the Chief Leschi Schools, and here's the address. Here's just kind of a sample of the map. And that will be on the website updated too. As we get them updated, I'll put them up there so anybody else can see how we're moving along and what to expect when they get there. Our camping will be at our current culture center. And we're doing some work on the roads that's gonna be updated also. These are kind of updated maps, guys, sorry. This is where the landing will be, Ole and Charlie's. The canoes will come in here, and we're gonna have bleachers here, and very, very, very limited parking, and we've shut down this, which we found out is a highway. So we'll be shuttling people along here. At our riverboat is where the parking is gonna be, and then we're gonna go constant shuttles going between all on the 28th, because this day is where the landing's gonna happen. So on the 28th, this is where all the canoes are gonna be coming in. Some things that we've been doing to prepare for this is we've gathered camas, cedar. We're just reviving our culture and the things that we do and how we practice it with people in our community. So it's a really excellent opportunity for us to be able to host this, because it's gonna enrich us in our culture, but also the people that come here. So, I mean, we're getting record numbers at our song and dance every week. Some of the things we're making are necklaces, cedar baskets, jam, salmon, throw blankets, side pillows. These are things we're just meeting a couple times a week with our community and anybody that wants to show up. If they want to come help make giveaway items, then that is what we're doing. And we're making many. I think we have over 1,000 necklaces made and ready to hand out as gifts for people that come to this. We're also practicing. We do pole practice 2 times a week. That's where people that want to be a part of the canoe family, or people in our community that are part of the canoe family, can get used to and accustomed to what it's like being in the canoe. We also have cold water training, and they actually make us flip the canoe. It's really not that scary, but they make all of us do it, so if it does happen, you won't freak out and not know, you know, what to do. So we also have, we're practicing our song and dance. It is really exciting to see so many people in our community learning the songs, learning the dances, making regalia, and it's just amazing. Our theme is honoring our medicine. The canoe journey gives us a chance to revitalize, as I told you, our songs at the song and dance, storytelling, regalia, and we're also reviving our language. We're constantly doing things with our language department, and we're having them work on things that we approve. They're doing their own curriculum to help teach our community how to welcome how to welcome people to come, you know, exciting. So every month we've been doing something called regional meetings. This is where we get a chance to meet with the canoe families that want to partake in the canoe journey that will be traveling here. We will share all of our maps, we'll share what we have planned, and it's also a chance for them to ask us questions, and if they need something from us, they can tell us. Our next regional meeting is actually this Wednesday, is it? In Canada, yeah. So,
very
thank
good.
You.
Wow.
Nice presentation. I think that I'm very appreciative of the ILWU and volunteering. I hope that, you know, maybe either through the conversation we have this evening or at a subsequent time, maybe we can figure out where you need, we could best help, if that's possible, whether it's volunteering or doing something else that you think might be just as important or something you'd like to see it for us to do. So I hope that we've had, you know, can have some conversation around that topic.
Nobody asked right now.
Yeah, well.
Just got right there.
Well, July 27th, we're going to have what we call a soft landing. And so the 28th is the day that we're officially accepting the canoes into our territory. So it's basically a staging for the next day. And I'm just going to kind of run through the schedule of events. So July 27th, we're doing the soft landing. And then the 28th, the soft landing is going to be at Dash Point State Park. And so then going around the corner, we can facilitate times a lot better. A lot of times they're traveling 10, 20 miles and then coming in, and that is a long process. So we're doing a soft landing, and it'll help things run a lot smoother. The landing site is going to be at Ole and Charlie's right there. We're coming up with a different name with it as
yeah, speaking I would hope right so. Now,
more of a traditional name yeah. in our language. So the canoes are going to be arriving, and traditionally you would ask permission to come ashore. So that they'll come in and they'll do a loop. A lot of times they'll be singing their songs, and then before they go up onto the beach, they ask permission to come ashore. Nowadays we'll just give them permission to come ashore, but there's a lot of history in why, you know, things are done that way. It's always been done that way.
Yeah.
And so then, like Andrea said, we're gonna have parking at the EQC Riverboat. We're gonna have people shuttling back and forth. We have some giant bleachers, I think, that they will be able to seat. How many?
5,000 capacity on the bleachers.
5,000, yeah.
That's just the bleachers.
Yes, and so that's just the bleachers. And then often the landing site is just super crowded with tons and tons of people. So we'll be able to have the ability to see pretty much most of them that, you know, that are going to show up. Because of our location, we're anticipating a lot more people just traveling. We're more of a central area. And so people will be traveling by car just to come see the canoes land, you know, the joy you see your kids coming in on the canoe. And some of you that traveled on the canoes understand that. And then after we accept the canoes coming ashore, then we're going to, we'll be shuttling everybody that's traveling on the canoe journey. We're going to be shuttling them from EQC to the school and the campgrounds. And then from then on out, we're going to have everything, all the festivities are going to be happening at the school, at Chief Lush High School. We have a giant tent that we're going to have put up. I think it's like 200 by 120, basically the size of a football field.
Yeah.
And everything is going to be happening there. We're going to have, you know, working with our security departments and our law enforcement, and we're going to have vendors there, food vendors, and a lot of the parking is going to be right there. All the camping is going to be at 72nd between Vickery and Waller. The Old Faith Dairy Farm our tribe purchased it a year ago or so. So that's going to be our cultural center. All the camping is going to be there. We'll have shuttle buses going back and forth from camping to Chief Lush High throughout the day. The workers that we're going to need, because, you know, trying to feed 10,000 people, you know, we need a lot of cooks. We need security guards. We need shuttle bus drivers, law enforcement, maintenance people, just general labor. So when the canoes arrive in at the beach, one of the things that we're going to do is, you know, you pack your canoe and you put it up on the beach so the tide can go away. So that's just very common. So we're going to need like 40, 50 people that will just help pack canoes. Some people would be standing out in the water, kind of keeping the canoes off of the beach until they have permission to come ashore. And then after the event, cleaning up and, you know, putting everything away, making sure everything's good. good. So that's kind of a quick basis of what we're going to have going on there.
Were you mentioning, Clint, that some of the canoes were going to go over to 11th Street for a while? Or?
Yeah, so when and part of the staging, we're going to be coming from Dash Point, and it's going to, as Chester calls it, a parade of canoes going down the Hollow Bows Waterway, turning around, and then coming back, and then they're going to, at the beach right next to Olney Charlie's, that's where they're going to ask permissioners come ashore. So they're going to come from Dash Point State Park, and probably, depending on how the schedule is going, they're going to sit over at Browns Point Park for the lighthouse for a few minutes, and then continue on when we give them the go-ahead to release them. And they're going to go down Hollow Bows, turn around at 11th Street Bridge, and then come back in. Basically a big parade, because there's going to be so many people there. We just kind of want, it's going to be a huge parade.
You know, I'm a member of both an outrigger club, a Hawaiian-based outrigger club, Kikahawa Keikai, and the Dragon Boat Club. Mm-hmm. I think there's an interest in some of them, if there's an opportunity to be able to at least greet them on the water, mm-hmm. Get out of the way, obviously. But
yeah, that would be awesome.
Would that be?
That would be
something?
Awesome, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
I paddled Saturday with them for 6 miles in my outrigger canoe, so I might be on my own outrigger, but there's an interest in greeting and welcome.
I've done dragon boats for probably like 10 years ago for a couple of years, yeah. And that's the sprinting version.
Yeah.
We're like the long distance running version, the marathon running, you know, the paddling 20 to 30 miles a day.
Yeah,
we're hoping that the people on the other side of the water, you know, there's the Navy there to use that, and then there's that group up above the Navy. They have a missed land there that, you know, maybe they allow their friends and family, and they reach out to their individuals, and they use that land on the other side as ways to host their families. And those vents coming in, it takes some pressure off of the landing site, but also gives them more of a, you know, privacy to themselves to just enjoy this. The sound system that we're putting in for this event, you will hear us well past the 11th Street Bridge, and they'll hear us at Point Defiance Park. We are putting out some power to make sure this is done right. The governor's office has reached out to us. He'll be on one of our canoes. We have many dignitaries from Olympia that's going to be on the canoes, where we set up a space for dignitaries at the landing site along with it. They'll be right in there with our pullers, because we're going to have an area designated for our pullers when they come off the beach. We were looking for people to walk up, grab there, like Clinton says. Hospitality is what's going to take us and put us better, you know, but right here where we need to be, that we're generous and welcoming people. So we want people to be able to go grab their gear for them. Say, come on, sir, follow. Come on, man, follow us. We'll take you to your seat if they want to sit and watch the rest of the show. I think what's key for us between the governments is showing how well we work together. When we, you know, Fife, Tacoma, Port of Tacoma, Tribe, we have differences. But on most things, we work together really close, as Connie said earlier, with the land claim settlement. That took a lot of dedication from our elders to put that together. And we want to showcase that. We want to showcase how well we work with our local jurisdictions and that we work together. And then that might be volunteers, that might be dollar-wise, that could be people showing up. I mean, it can really, whatever each incapacity can offer, you know, that it's welcomed. We really want to make this showing the historical lands of the Puyallup people and how we work together and how we are all generous people.
Yeah. Inclusivity.
Yeah.
You know, we're all one community here. And we all do have to work with each other. We all do rely on each other for lots of different things that happen in our region here.
I think that's significant, because this is the 100th anniversary of the port, obviously, this year. And this is the 30th anniversary of what Connie and I worked together on, the land claim settlement in 1988. So,
and none of it was planned. It just happened that way. Think about it. I mean, think about it. That's pretty.
So it's a big year for celebration for all of us.
And maybe Chester or whoever would be appropriate, maybe you could give us a kind of a list of where you need, we could dial in, and whether it's, you know, resources or volunteers or whatever, or Connie, maybe.
We're looking for volunteers. Because of the size of this gathering, we're looking for sponsorship. Yeah. So we have many, many ways to be able to put your name out there, help us with covering some of the costs, but we are doing some special things. Like we'll have a tent that will be a place for our elders to be, have an area out of the heat or rain, a special place to come eat where we're just serving elders. We want, you know, family-style dining, and that we want them to know that they're coming in and they're being treated very special. I just talked to Ed Carrier, who is a Suquamish elder, who was a part of helping us very early on. But he travels on a, how long do you think his little canoe is?
17 feet.
Yeah, it's probably a 17 foot. He was with us when we went to house it. And the big story then was this big seal had come in and grabbed hold of his canoe and left its teeth marks. Oh, it don't faze him. You know, and he's got to be nearly 90 years old. And he's going to be on an Alaskan cruise, but he'll get home July 25th. He's got everything packed. He's got his crew. He's going to be ready just to get in his canoe and come join us and to come be with us.
Those are great.
So there's a lot of interest. One of the communities we're going to visit on Friday is carving a new canoe. Or they've completed carving a new canoe. They didn't have one last year. So they worked all winter to get a new canoe for themselves. They've been exercising. They have walked the distance from Quadra Island just out of Campbell River to here. That's been part of their preparation, is that distance. So their people have been walking as part of their training. Muckleshoot uses canoe journeys as part of their education curriculum. So you have everything written into their curriculum to learn about canoe journeys and participating. But nobody does this by themselves. It takes an entire crew, entire community. One of the communities, Ahauset, which is on Western, it's an island off of Vancouver Island. Almost their whole village leaves and travels for almost a month to be here. And they, too, work real hard to get themselves here. Many of our canoe families do a lot of fundraising. They're self-sufficient when most times when other, you know, some of the tribes have some income that can help canoe families, but others, they do a lot of work to take care of themselves and get themselves going. So this is a significant cultural and spiritual event for all of our communities. We're drug and alcohol free. We've been tobacco free before Washington State's initiative on tobacco prevention. It was one of the things that when the elders that helped us get started, we were to show how we've grown every year. And so we just said, well, we won't smoke. Other canoe families have a hard time doing that, because if you're going to ask for volunteers and say you want to come with us but you can't smoke, that gets to be hard. We just said it, we just did it, and people have worked real hard to respect that for us. We utilize our traditions and culture as drug and alcohol prevention. I have two Office of Juvenile Justice Prevention Grants, utilizing the canoe journey as part of our curriculum to help our youth and families in drug and alcohol prevention. Many of our communities, particularly in Canada, address high numbers of suicide. A little over 10 years ago, the community at Nisqually had one of the highest suicide rates in the nation. And all of our communities are looking for ways to help their youth and their families. All of our youth that travel with us travel with a parent, a guardian, or last year I took 5 of my grandkids, all under the age of 12. And the youngest one was not quite 2. She only stayed 4 days, but she still was with us. My other 4 were on the water with me for more than 30 days. So each of the canoe families They are also drug and alcohol free. They are also looking at using our traditional culture to help elevate the quality of life in many of our communities where there exists a lot of problems, but it's hard to describe. That emotion and the excitement of watching, and you just saw a picture, but when you see all of the canoes coming in and coming past you, everybody, there's just an excitement there that's hard to describe. And we want to share that with our community. We want to share the positive things. This is be for many of us a once in a lifetime opportunity to share and to view and be a part of witnessing. And so we're inviting you to come and be a part of that hosting, helping us out. It's a magnificent adventure. There'll be a lot to offer. We are communicating with different magazines. We'll begin our press releases, advertising in the local community. This is open to everybody in the community. It's not a Native only activity. Everybody is welcome. we only have a few rules. We're drug and alcohol free and there's no tobacco. Chief Leshai is a drug and alcohol free, cigarette free campus, so that will continue on our campus. We will provide security 24 hours a day. We even have 3 ATMs coming.
Three what?
ATMs.
Oh. Wow. We have many vendors coming.
Very good.
One question. Yes? Yeah, just one question. Because you mentioned for the number of days that you're serving breakfast and dinner, each one of those days, are you doing anything where, for example, a group, like a Rotary group, or a port group or a city group might be the volunteers who would help to serve
exactly
that meal.
What we need.
That's exactly yes. It has happened before.
We did not talk about this before. It just occurred to me.
A lot of it is overwhelming people on numbers, and we're simply trying to share with them. If we had the Rotary Club, our staff, and the Boys Club, and all these little groups that came in to help, that just helps alleviate some of the pressure off of us.
Even if it's just one
like
guy.
I was sharing with John and Claire over in the other room when we got started early is this event is, we're looking at 10 to 20,000 people. Our travel budget for this has skyrocketed to almost $2.5 million. One of the ways individuals in the room can help is help spread the word to our local businesses. That we have, that, you know, these numbers are out there. We can use sponsorships for this. We have plenty of room. We have a 30-foot tall bleachers that's 300 feet long that we're able to put banners up and do advertising. We have a beach shoreline that we're able to put banners along. We have fencing at our campground that we'll be able to keep the sponsorship going. That's something everyone in the room, you guys know a couple businesses that you can share those numbers with and let them know how good of, not only are they helping, you know, bring us to the community, but they're also, there's 10,000 plus people that are in this new money into the area. As a tribe, we don't want to think of it that way, but it's just the way, it is the reality of it.
It's an economic boom. Every year, wherever the canoe journey goes through, when they go through a small town, they get wiped out of food and water.
Me and Clint.
Yeah.
Tim Hortons was 24 hours a day where we were at. They were closing every day by 10 and 11 o'clock because they were selling out of food. The city of Fife in particular, with Chief Leshai being so close, get your stores and get your owners to know, stock up, be ready for this event because it's going to be a madhouse.
Anywhere from boating to camping, you know, this is like a mecca for stores like that. We have tons of stores like that all over the place, and all them stores, they're going to get hit. Walmart gets wiped out.
Yeah. Just one of the guys I paddled with Saturday is one of the leaders from the Lummi tribe. And we were talking about this, Lummi tribe, and we were talking about it. And I said, well, you need a lot of volunteers. He says, volunteers? He said, when we had it, Autumn Rose, I don't know if you know, Autumn approached him and said, would you cook breakfast for me one morning? He says, sure. For how many? 3,000. So, you know, Clara, I think that's a great idea to be able to help serve.
Last year in Campbell River, my grandson is 13 years old. We were going over by the kitchen area, but we were actually getting ready to go shower before we went and had breakfast. We got close and he says, "They're making pancakes." I never even was stopped. He was out of the van and running to the kitchen. It was the Rotary Club, came in that day, set up their grills, and started pouring pancakes and had eggs and sausage, along with, you know, the other kinds of foods for breakfast. But it was a Rotary Club that had done come in and done the cooking that morning. But immediately he said, "They're serving pancakes," and he was gone. And, you know, little things excite you on canoe journeys. Yes,
well, eating is a very clean important core value. Right, Chester?
Yes.
Just one more thing. I'm just reminded, you know, how significant it is with those thousands of people coming and the ceremony that you have that says, "We ask permission to land and you give permission to land." I just wanted to share with those of you who are here that Don and I both worked on the tall ships a number of years ago, and how grateful we were to you, and you especially, Connie, who brought together a number of the canoes and people from the tribe who greeted the tall ships when they were at anchor out there in Vashon, Docton area. And they were surprised. And they were moved by the ceremony when you came to them and you asked them to ask for permission to land in the traditional waters of the Puyallup people. And there was a gift exchange. And it was a powerful, powerful moment. And you're going to have that over and over and over again during this canoe journey.
Clinton was our skipper at that time.
Yeah, quartermaster.
Thank you for the ride.
Thank you. I've never had the opportunity to thank you. Thank you very much. Any other questions by the
I have comments.
Okay,
I have as I offered when this presentation was made at the Joint Municipal Action Committee, I reached out to our city manager. The City of Fife is on point for what you need. Speaking personally as an events person, I'm a big fan of successes in the details. So we would most definitely help you spread the information that you are looking for support. We can connect you with the Fife Milton Edgewood Chamber for sure, Benish Brown with Travel Tacoma, if you haven't already connected with them. Those are excellent resources for spreading the word about, you know, the impact that they can expect, and then also both very legitimate organizations to request assistance from. So definitely City of Fife, we know will have some impacts, and we are our city manager committed to kind of an all hands on deck approach for if you need support. You know, I myself am happy to come serve a meal, and I'm pretty sure I can get some council members there as well. Maybe we'd even bring some council corn.
Yeah.
A little preview to our Harvest Festival.
Council corn?
We always serve corn at our Harvest Festival.
That's great.
Thank you.
Commissioner McCarthy.
Just comment. Connie, I really appreciate your comments about drug and alcohol-free, tobacco-free, that commitment to the youth. As you probably know, when I was a Superior Court judge, I was in charge of the drug court program for 2 years and had over 500 people per year. So I know that emotion and that joy that you see when you see people that are able to turn lives around and succeed and take positive influences and make positive things happen. So I understand that.
Speaking of that, I was before Canoe Journeys, I tell the story all the time, I won't go into whole detail. I was on the other side of his bench. I was. Connie shares those stories about gangs and all that. That's where I was. And after Kyle, her nephew, was murdered, my best friend got murdered. Wasn't even in gangs. He was picking up his daughter at 3 o'clock in the morning after he got off work. And he decided I wanted to change. But just because I wanted to change Doesn't mean everyone believed me. Doesn't mean everyone gave me a chance. I'd done some devastation to the community for years. But I finally woke up, and I was on the other side. I've been to that drug court. I went through that system. But I ran into Connie one day when they were getting ready to go to Victoria Harbor, and I jumped on that canoe. It changed my life forever. I haven't been in trouble in 20 years. I got 4 kids and a grandbaby. That's what these canoes do for us. So I just wanted to share that, and thank you.
Well, thank you.
Who's
for
the go-to person?
Yeah, that's the question I had was, I'm assuming that our staff, John, can arrange a contact so that we can figure out maybe a role we can play to be beneficial, yes, whether it's volunteers
we'll
or
be finalizing those volunteer stations here in the next couple of weeks.
Okay. So, John, I'm assuming that we can make a contact and a follow-up on this.
Great.
And we use the contact on the website. My phone number is also there. She reviews the email and contacts on the website.
I don't have my business card on me, so sorry. You can't email the website. I'm the one that checks it.
Is that the best card? It's okay.
Yeah. It's right now, yeah. And then I'll reply my personal email.
Okay.
Well, I would like to, on behalf of everyone here, thank you very much for the presentation. The stories and the emotion, Connie, you know, this is probably something that some of us can't quite understand emotion like that. But Chester, your story about things that change for you, that's spiritual. Mm-hmm. That is a direct cause of something that happened to you in a positive way. And I'm really happy to hear that story. And the comment about the big tent, I was at the powwow about, I want to say, I can't remember, about maybe 2-3 years ago. That was a large tent. I don't know if it's going to be the same one.
That's
bigger. It was so large.
It's going to be way bigger than that.
It's going to be bigger than
that.
Yes.
I will suggest to you, that's big.
The powwow twice as big. We'll barely be able to hold the people to feed them.
Yeah. But thank you for coming this evening. Thank you for what it is that you're doing with the community. And the message that you have sent to us is a very important message, and we appreciate it.
Thank you.
And we hope you'll stay for a few minutes, too, because we want to talk about our centennial.
Oh, okay.
And part of that first, on the 29th, is going to be some boat tours. So I don't know if there's some way we can help produce anything here.
July
29th?
May 29th? July 29th? July 29th?
Yeah.
So with that introduction, we're going to move on to the next topic. It's called Centennial Briefing, Port of Tacoma. Also, my notes indicate here that the city of Fife is 60 years old. 61 years old.
Oh, too bad.
Oh,
it would have been better. Yep.
But apparently it was a strong...
Well, we're 1 year away from being able to write something for retirement, right? Isn't that 62?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so.
Open the door next year.
Just waiting for the motion now.
We can celebrate something. We'll find something to celebrate.
Yeah. Okay, Rod, are you going to take it away, or who's going to be doing the introduction?
Yes, me too.
Sure. Good evening. My name's Rod Kuhn. I'm the senior manager of communications at the Port of Tacoma. I apologize for standing back here. Feel free to shuffle around, but most of what's important that I'm going to say will be able to be seen on the big screen up there. So, just real basically, the Port of Tacoma was created by a vote of Pierce County citizens November 5th of 1918. So just to set some calendar dates, that is our actual centennial date coming around November 5th of this year. So about 2 years ago, we started having discussions with staff and our commissioners saying, okay, we're turning 100. What do we want to do? And why do we want to do what we want to do? So we started at, I think, a good place, developing some goals for the centennial. I'll just run through these quickly. Certainly, we want to highlight our past achievements, some of our current and future opportunities and challenges. It's an opportunity for the port to increase our community's understanding and appreciation of some of the milestones, how the port and the tide flats have evolved, current operations and future plans. As the discussion
previous, it's also a chance for the port to strengthen our existing community partnerships and create new ones. We also want to highlight our economic impact and how jobs that are in this community bring about economic vitality throughout our region, both historically, currently, and hopefully in the years to come. Another element, and Nick will talk about this in a few minutes, is we want to create a unique, what we call a legacy project, a project that will live on well beyond November 5th of this year. So some of the key messages that we're working on to infuse into our events and various products, certainly the job creation and the economic engine theme that the port helps drive in our community. The fact we're a strong and a diverse community asset. Again, the many partnerships we have within the community. We've done a lot in terms of environmental stewardship, and we want to highlight the progress we have made working with many partners in that area, including the tribe. And where's the port going for the next 100 years? So to talk a little bit about some of the milestones in special events to follow up on what Commissioner Petridge said. Each year there's an event called the Maritime Fest, and this year it is July 28th and July 29th. So in talking calendars, if you walk backwards from November 5th, you get to about July 28th. So that we are planning to do a 100-day celebration, celebrate 100 years of the port in 100 days. So our clock actually starts ticking on July 28th. This is a weekend of events that are held on the Foss Waterway Seaport. It's been a partnership with a number of groups for over 20 years. The port will be a sponsor of the Maritime Fest. Many of the activities are centered at the Foss Waterway Seaport. So we plan to have displays in centennial-themed materials at that event for those 2 days. And then our most popular public outreach event is we hold annual boat tours using a large sightseeing vessel, and we're using Sunday, July 29th will be the date for our boat tours. We offer 5 or 6 separate tours. These are free and open to the public. We get between 1,000 and 1,500 people there at these tours each year. And this year, as they said in Jaws, we're going to need a bigger boat. So we're using the Good Time 2 sightseeing vessel out of Seattle, which holds about 100 more people per tour than we have used in the past. And just if you've never been on these, you're missing out on a great opportunity. And they're free, so you get your money's worth. But you really get a close-up look at the ships, see the cranes, and get a better appreciation. What's it like to be a longshoreman or a longshorewoman 150 feet in the air, moving 40-foot containers on and off a vessel? You get a more appreciation for the skill of the working waterfront in that workforce. And then later on in that 100-day celebration, we are partnering with the Tacoma Historical Society. Each year, they hold an event called the Destiny Dinner, and they've highlighted different aspects of the community each year. This year, their theme is 1918, a year of destiny, and the Port of Tacoma will be a sponsor. The event will highlight the fact the port was created in 1918. It was also the year Dairy Gold was established. It was also the year the Pantages Theater opened. World War I ended. So a number of really significant milestone events will be highlighted at this event. It's going to be held at the Tacoma Armory, which has a bit of history to itself. I believe it's huge. It might even be bigger than the tent. I'm not sure. But it's, I believe it's 200 by 100 feet? No.
Bring it.
Anyway, it's big. If you've never been in it, I took a tour about a month ago, and it was awesome. In addition to some of the special events we're doing, because it's our centennial year, we're taking advantage of annual events that happen, and we are working to highlight the port and our history in that as well. One of the biggest ones is called the Tacoma Propeller Club Chowdown. which is a legendary seafood event. That's this Friday. John Wolf will be speaking at the Transportation Club of Tacoma in a June meeting. We're also working with the Longshore Pensioners for a meeting and talk about the centennial in June as well. So those are some of the key calendar dates that are part of the 100-day celebration. And then real quickly, just some other elements of our centennial. As we were doing research of everyone from Coca-Cola to Wrigley Field, you can't turn 100 without a logo. So we decided, we worked with J. Ray, a very good firm here locally, and working with them, they came up with this. So this is our centennial logo with the slogan, "Our Ties Run Deep." And we'll be working to develop, I'm not sure if we'll be doing Frisbees, but we'll do baseball caps and T-shirts and golf shirts and a variety of other items to give as prizes on our boat tours and at other community events during that 100 days as well. The logo will also be incorporated. We're running a variety of advertising, print ads in local publications that will highlight that as well. We're working with Pierce Transit to do some bus wrap. We're going to wrap a bus, so to speak, and then have some bus cards, and those will run August through October. And then finally, we're going to do a traveling port history timeline. What you're seeing here is not the timeline. This is an example of St. Joseph's Hospital when they turned 125 years. So this is a unit, or it'll be a series of displays that will be lightweight and portable, easy to transport and set up, probably to be used in indoor settings, but it can be moved around the community as well. We plan to have these done and up for the Maritime Fest, as well as the Destiny Dinner and a number of other community events. There's also a magazine. We're doing a one-time centennial magazine, and our plan is to print this in June. And again, this would be an item that will be available at the various public outreach events we do during our 100 days. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Nick to talk about community outreach and a few other elements of the centennial.
Yeah, thank you, Rod. So my name is Nick Damaris. I'm the Public Affairs Director for both the Port of Tacoma and the Seaport Alliance. So thank you for having us today. Just to talk a little bit, we have a pretty vigorous community outreach program that we engage in throughout the year. One of the things that we spend a lot of time doing is going out to community farmers markets. You know, we are a countywide organization, so we try to get into multiple farmers markets and community events around the county throughout the year. And we're really going to try to infuse a lot of this centennial flavor into those different outreaches. And so you'll see this logo, some of the gear, some potentially the timeline display out into those farmers markets. We also do, in addition to the boat tours, we do a monthly bus tour on our terminals at the Port of Tacoma. And so we advertise those pretty regularly on social media. If you haven't been on one of those, or you know somebody that hasn't been on one of those, it's a great opportunity to go out and see the terminals up close. Our operations director always says, if you've seen one terminal, you've seen one terminal. They all operate a little bit differently. And it's tough to get a sense of how that feels until you're out there. In addition to that, as you can imagine, as most of you probably do, our commissioners and staff do a number of group presentations, civic groups, governmental entities throughout the course of the year. We are really trying to engage in a framework of a conversation that really does look back and understand the creation of the port, some of the complexities that have gotten us to today, some of the opportunities and challenges we currently face, and then start a conversation with the community about what's next for the Port of Tacoma. We are constantly thinking about what the potential of the development of this area and the opportunities within the market look like. The last bullet there that we're considering, there's been in the past we have purchased a container, one of the 20 TEU smaller containers that we've used as a traveling display out in the community to help people understand the impact that the port has and the trade has to their communities. And we're trying to figure out if there's a way that we can utilize that in and around the community as well. We're going to have a pretty vigorous engagement around social media and through our website. We're going to engage a deeper portion of our Port of Tacoma website around the history elements of the Port of Tacoma, as well as pretty strenuous engagement throughout social media. We have Facebook, Instagram, Twitter accounts for both the Seaport Alliance and the Port of Tacoma. So those are great opportunities for us to engage with the community as a whole. We are also including a web form on our website, which we'll advertise through social media, to try to get people to submit photos and stories of their engagement with the Port of Tacoma over time. So, and maybe somebody's got a picture of their grandfather working the docks in 1950 or, you know, something like that, that if people send us their stories, we would like to be able to highlight those. We are also have recently brought on some extra capacity to be able to do more video within current resources that we have. And so we've had tremendous success when the cranes came in of doing some great little one-on-one interviews that we then uploaded and popularized through social media to be able to engage folks. And so we really want to do a set of these storylines and short videos of members throughout the community. And, you know, it would be great to be able to engage both the government of Fife as well as the Puyallup tribe to be able to integrate your stories into your engagement within the port and be able to promote those throughout this really holistic look at the port's history. And in addition to that, we're doing some work on a story map. We had a great opportunity, again, with the cranes coming in. I don't know if folks saw it on our website, but we were able to use GIS tracking to engage and track the crane ship as it came down through the Puget Sound, and then encourage people to upload their photos of the cranes as it was coming through. And so we got these great interactions up and down the Puget Sound. We're so hoping to do something very similar with our GIS team at the port. And then lastly, you know, Rod talked a little bit about the Legacy Project. One of the things that our commissioners really recognized was the idea that we had an opportunity to do something of impact and of scale that would last for a long time. And this is just a photo, I think this is down at Thea's Park, of a sculpture down there. And we're in negotiations and conversations with the City of Tacoma to be able to manage that process for us. And our plan is to do a pretty significant industrial scale piece of art that we would commission that would be located up on city property that would recognize and honor the value of the port within the community. We don't want to presuppose exactly what that would look like. That's for the artists rather than us to be able to come up with. But it's an exciting opportunity to have an impact and to leave a piece of art within this community for a long period of time. That being said, of course, really want to figure out different ways that we can engage members of the community. And again, you know, both the governments represented here, in addition to our Port Commission, it would really hope to invite you to participate in this celebration. It's been a tremendous opportunity for us to look back at some of the great times and some of the challenges that we've struggled with in the history of the port. But I think we have a lot of shared history to be able to point to and celebrate. Particularly, you know, with the Puyallup Tribe and the Settlement Act, you know, I think there's tremendous opportunity to show that partnership and that we are stronger as a community working together.
Thank you, Nick. Thank you, Rod. But it's also my understanding, for example, in the magazine that it would highlight the Puyallup Tribal Settlement Agreement.
Yes.
As one of the examples to recognize the role that's played in our community. So
absolutely,
the connection, I think, that we're all looking for.
And I believe certainly it would be an important milestone to consider on the timeline display as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Very good. Any comments, questions, concerns? Yes, Chester.
I was kind of curious on boat traffic, because, you know, that's the same thing we're bringing our canoes in. And we've already talked to Coast Guard about parking all the big ships on that side of the water. Commission Bay that day. So yeah. I'm just curious.
Maybe somewhere in the middle.
Hey, there we go. Working together. So we're just running on boat traffic.
Absolutely. Yeah. So the good news is we typically pick up over in the Foss Waterway, right?
Right, by the Foss Waterway Seaport.
Yeah, so we'll be on the other side of the tide flats. And then the tour typically will go down the Blair Waterway, but won't make it all the way over to the Hylabus. And so I think there's some good opportunity there. And again, this will be on the 29th, so hopefully most of your boats are already in and
canoes.
The canoes, please.
Shove them in the water.
You guys have no boat traffic on the 28th then.
Yeah, no, we will not have any boat traffic on the
28th. That's your big day. Isn't
that's
it?
Our big day.
Yeah.
That's our big day.
Would there be anything on the beach on the 29th?
Yeah, most of the canoes will still be on the beach, and there might be a great opportunity.
You guys drive
in. Yes.
Look at the Hylabus. Because
have a good view.
Yeah.
We'll only charge you $10 a tour.
That's fine. That's what we were talking about, sponsorships, right?
Way to go. Great. Okay.
Yeah,
anything
absolutely
else for putting the order here? But thank you, Nick.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rod. I know this is an important time for the port to really celebrate where we've come in the last 100 years. It's a major achievement, and so I'm looking forward to a good product. And 100 days, it'll go by fast, my friends. It'll go by fast. So, okay, next item, last item we have on the agenda is road infrastructure projects update. Russ.
Sorry, just thinking about Clinton. The Maritime Museum, you know, all the docking there, they've indicated to us that we're going to be able to use that for all of our support boats. Mm-hmm. So I'm just giving you guys a heads up that dock over there is probably going to be pretty full of all of our support boats.
I love that dock being used.
Yeah. It's going to be full.
Yeah. But I'm sure we could coordinate that as long as we plan in advance.
Yeah, so that's why we're sharing.
For all the 120 canoes, majority of them will come with the support boat. So we're not just saying 120 canoes. No. We're saying support boats.
So almost 75-80 boats that will follow.
So transient moorage.
So they'll need a place to moor overnight.
Yeah. So we're trying to give you the heads up on we are for that part. So
very good. Very good.
We'll be in touch.
It's a great problem.
We'll make it work.
Yeah, very good. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Russ, what happened to Russ? Okay. Now, Russ, my first question that I have for you is normally every time I look at you, I think of some temporary disruption. But I swear there are certain projects that have been going on for a very long period of time, and you have nothing to do with them. I know that. But I will tell you, my thought process has always been in terms of the construction projects. Is that you? Yeah, I guess we're losing our crowd. So, thank you.
That's
Russ, take it away.
I won't be able to do it. Before he gets started,
take it away or give another minute or two.
We can take it a minute.
Yeah. Did you write this? You use the word challenging. There's other words you could use.
Well, thank you. Perhaps we are publishing, the story in the family circulation journal. So. Oh. Our vocabulary is somewhat limited. I didn't realize we were losing our tribal representatives. I too, appreciated hearing their story and so on. We are working to improve traffic and bike in the future, improve circulation for hosting big events for the tribe is scheduling an event out off of Greenview Drive and off of Taylor Way at their old casino site, and so they're going to be traveling through one of our construction sites, and so we'll work with that. Again, I'm Russ Blunt. I'm the Public Works Director for the City of Fife. I've presented to our council many, many times and to the Court Commissioners a few times over the years. And as we were discussing with Commissioner Meyer here a moment ago, some of these projects have been around for a few years. But we are going into construction on several of them, and all at once. It's not a case that DOT tearing up I-5 and the City of Tacoma closing the only other highway bridge, multi-lane bridge to between Fife and Tacoma. The City of Fife's got to do its part too this summer. And so I've got several projects I want to talk about. They're scattered around the city. You've got a copy of this map. We, of course, are here in the Fabulous Center right off Port Tacoma Road. That's the biggest project in the City of Fife. It's more than twice as big as the second largest construction contract the City of Fife's ever awarded. Our council did award to Goodfellow Brothers a short while ago, and we're moving forward with that. But we have other projects that we'll get through around the city, and you can refer back to this map if you like. In addition to the full PowerPoint, we handed out a one-page document that's pretty dense words on one side, but a map on the other.
But it does get it all down to one piece of paper. We have on our website an interactive version of this map, and so you'll be able to click on the website any of the individual projects. It'll fit over to a current description of what's going on. We've been averaging 100 hits a day, so it's been up for about 2 weeks. We're something like 1,400 hits. I mean, literally 100 hits a day, pretty consistent, and I think 400 hits the first day, and then pretty steady. So people are curious about it. We know that the traffic's important. We just had our first video clip. We could add to the link. We'll continue to post additional links on these projects as we move forward. Again, the largest one, the one that we've been working on the longest, is Port Tacoma Road. Phase one is under contract. It's going to start now, and you know, did start the construction contract, and I just don't start crying out dates, but it's going to go for 2 years. So, back up, I'm sorry. The key thing here, this new ramp connecting across between a future bridge across I-5 will eventually create a one-way couplet, but this new ramp is much further from Pacific Highway and higher. It's at the bridge height. So this summer, our contractor will be basically placing great big fills, much like you saw for the I-5 bridges, where the fill goes in and then it's going to sit there. And it's kind of frustrating. What's going on? What's going on is the ground is getting squeezed. And the gravity is just pulling that great big fill into the earth and squeezing the ground underneath, and eventually it stops, and then you can build a road on it. And so that's what's going to happen this summer. A bunch of fill is going to go on, a bunch of work on 34th, getting ready for the new exit ramp. And then next year, we're going to get more into the completion of work. The utility work will be much of this year. 34th gets finished. The pavement gets put in next year. So you will see a bunch of work. And then over the winter, it's going to seem like, where'd the contractor go? Well, he went somewhere else, we hope. We hope he has other work, because there'll be several months where when the main work being done is being done by gravity. So when we're done, there'll be a new entrance to Fife off of the freeway, heading north through 34th. Through the trees there, and it actually, you know, will be a big new thing. Such a difference from today, in that it'll be a long, straight stretch of road for everybody to queue up and be in line and get ready to go. And when the signal goes green, they're going. Currently at Port Tacoma Road, there's so much turning and maneuvering and changing lanes that you don't get the throughput that you really might want to get people, you know, moving into the port. Will really work. Another big project, weekend after the 4th of July, that's July 7th, we are going to close 54th Avenue East at 8th Street. We have all kinds of outreach going on. We've been working with the port, the trucking group. We've been working with Milgard folks. Our contract allowed the contractor to close the road for 3 weekends. To do it, you know, one half, the other, and tie it all together. Instead, what he came up with as a value proposition is to, out of his pocket, pay Tacoma Public Power to remove all the overhead power, drop the lines so he can use great big equipment and do it all in one weekend. When he drops the lines, it means he takes Milgard out of production. Milgard normally works at least a 6-day schedule. They initially were very reluctant to give up a Saturday, but have agreed that the overall inconvenience is left. They'll close that weekend immediately after the 4th. They have a lot of people on vacation. Hopefully everybody else does too. And so this project will move right along. It replaces two culverts here. They don't really leap out at you on the drawings, but they're two little 42-inch culverts, not big enough for all the water. Here's the new precast units. These are our culverts. They're curing right now. The curing will continue to the end of the month, but we're going to wait another month till this magic weekend comes up on July 7th, when we will close the road and then reopen it Monday morning by 5 a.m. This is the kind of construction we had on 70th, a very similar project. where we closed that road for a week, but considered that a bit of his imposition, but a contractor could just be so much more productive if he has a closed situation. Our contractor for 54th is convinced he can get it all done in one weekend if it's closed and he has everybody else cleared out of the way. The next big project, and another one with the Port Tacoma partnership, is at 54th and SR 99, Pack Highway. We are adding a second left turn lane here. We're widening all three corners here with new right-of-way, doing a little reconstruction on the fourth corner where we have the tribe's property. And by improving this traffic flow, which you might say, gee, is away from the port, it supports the port in that much of that business is the warehousing district in Fife that trades in and out of the port. You know, the goods come off of ships, go into our warehousing district, are resorted into longer containers, some just to different destinations, and then leave by truck. And so this is in that sense direct port business, but it's also direct traffic to and from the port. When you move this faster, you get more green time. There's only so many minutes per hour, and so you cut the green time here by a few minutes to get more green time for the other movements, so it benefits the port in a variety of ways. That same project will also improve Pacific Highway East pedestrian facilities. We've had several fatalities over the years in different segments of Pacific Highway East, including this segment, where pedestrians sometimes step out around a puddle into the street in the dark and the wet. And we've got a full streetscape with illumination and sidewalks and a little planter strip that allows some separation between pedestrians and the travel lane. So that's all part of that same project. Next project is one we just west of here. We've scheduled this work to be concurrent with the City of Tacoma closure of the Old 99 Bridge, and that closure will allow us to go out and repair some of the failing pavement along Pacific Highway, both between Port Tacoma Road and Milwaukee, and then also a little further east of Port Tacoma. Here is 66th Avenue East. This is supporting our own warehousing district and circulation. It has some benefit to the port, but probably less directly. Again, the indirect benefits is it supports the industrial zone in Fife. It supports traffic in the region, and in that sense supports the port. This does happen to be the first one for which the Rainier Communications Group, the local cable TV provider that supports our government broadcasting, has put together a little video, describes the project. They actually have some drone footage. We'll get that link up on our web. We just understood that it was posted today, so we've yet to get the links available, but we'll share it with you and have it available shared to the public. Again, this map is on our website, and it does have hot links to latest updates. We'll have hot links to that video and other videos that are available. This is, again, 66th Avenue, so it is under construction. We are nearly finished with all of our mitigation work, helping to improve the parking situation for the property owner. The new street runs right through some truck parking here. So part of our right-of-way negotiations are that we replace that parking with this parking. An old storm pond, we're moving storm water around so we can move trucks around so we can build a street. So it's a little bit like the game that we did as kids, or may have seen our own kids do, where you shuttle the one empty space and you've got eight other tiles you've got to move around to get in the right order. And that's the way it feels out on this site, where we had to move four or five different rounds of facilities in order to get a space for our road. One of those, again, is a big, long piece of stormwater line. This pipe was out of stock anywhere in the United States, and we were able to get the pipe from Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, where they had it surplus from a petroleum job. And then, of course, we're working on regional projects. We're working jointly with port staff and others on the local share funding for 167, the Puget Sound Gateway. We're working towards construction, which will start next year on the 70th Avenue Bridge over I-5, which they're considering part of the Gateway initial construction. And we're working with Sound Transit on their new light rail through Fife. And abutting the port. So Fife continues to be a very busy and interesting place to work. Our partnership with the port has been a big part of keeping it interesting and fun and helping us get projects into construction. This year's slate of projects will be disruptive to traffic, but I'm glad that our road closure for 54th, for example, will be finished and out of the way before either your 100th anniversary celebration or the tribe's canoe journey, that the buses from the canoe journey to their campground and their campus site are going to be on a fully open road there at 54th. We will also work with our contractor for the SR99 54th turn lane to try to minimize disruption during your big events. So they will be under construction through those times. And I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Very good, Russ. Any questions or comments?
Just one real quick one, besides the regional aspect of what we're all trying to go through. Has the funding been able to, have you been able to match the funding with the projects?
Yes, everything that we're working on is fully funded. It was a bit of a scramble with Port Tacoma Road. Of all the projects we had to do, it's the one that came in a little over budget. It wasn't crazy, but it was about 9% over the engineer's estimate, and so it went from $23 million to $25. And that extra $2 million was a scramble. And the city of Fife, came up with it. What we have really done is basically got WashDOT to agree to the two big pieces of state help we got were from the Transportation Improvement Board that kicked in $500,000 more, and from the state DOT who agreed to allow us to use another $1 million of our Connecting Washington funds. Now, that's Rob and Peter paid for Paul, because those Connecting Washington funds were there for stage two. And so if we spend $1 million of those more on stage one, then our hole is bigger and we need more funding for stage two. We are in the process of
a lot better though.
The timeline's better. We've gone back to FIMSIB. They're considering whether they might do extra. They're in for $8 million. We said, gee, we're 10% above budget. Could you maybe kick in another 10% of that? But they've not yet responded. We talk to port staff, and just given the time and the way, because it's a situation with your budget, you didn't twist your arm much, but you can anticipate a little arm twisting or at least salesmanship when we really start finalizing our stage two plans. Another year or so, we'll be working with you as you're getting your budgets together. You were very much appreciated for the contribution on stage one, $1.5 million, offset some by some old real estate that you dedicated. And as we sold that real estate, that was about $400,000 of credit against your $1.5 million. But that's been very, very helpful. The next go round, we might ask for more.
Okay. Very good. Yes. I guess I would just like to make a comment. I will say that I heard a lot of presentations when I was participating in the Pierce County Regional Council by Russ, playing a key role in the leadership role. And I have appreciated not only Russ's leadership, but also the support we get, Mayor, working together with the City of Fife. The comment about, is traffic really challenging? we know it's challenging. There's no question about it. But our, I will say, of all the relationships we have, the one I cherish the most is the City of Fife, because perhaps maybe it's the projects and the interaction we have to have, and that's where the trucks go. And you know, when I look at this map here, every one of these projects is significant to not only the City of Fife, but also it has a significance to us as to how this whole thing works. So I just appreciate, Russ, your involvement on these projects, and I appreciate, Mayor, the City of Fife's leadership, to be honest about it.
Thank you.
So any other questions of Russ at this stage? Okay. Thank you very much, Russ. Very important to you.
You're welcome.
So before we conclude, is there any public here that would like to make public comments? Seeing none, Mayor, would you like to make some closing comments, and then we could adjourn?
Well, I will just say thank you for being available to come together for this joint meeting, and that we were able to, as two groups here, the presentation from the tribe and have a direct opportunity to indicate to them that we are both here for their support. So, yeah, you know, I just have to say that you have some excellent staff working for you, and Yvette is always very easy to talk to and very approachable. So I just want to personally thank her for making these kind of things happen, and happen fast.
Yeah, we all wait for directions from that. That's the truth.
Right. And you know, I would just appreciate the opportunity, if any of the Fife Council here has any other comments that they have an opportunity to say, anything they'd like to share.
Just look forward to working with the port in the future. It's been very good, and one to continue.
Thank you.
And it's always John's trucks that get the problem.
Mine trucks, and you're right.
Very good. Thank you very much. Any other comments by my fellow commissioners?
Thank you.
This is a good agenda, my friends.
Yeah.
And it's right on topic, and it's good for each and every one of us to come together. And I really mean working together and keeping together is a fundamental part of success. And with that,
Just to make sure that we don't wait 2 years to have it again.
We
make sure we have this on an annual basis.
I think that's a great suggestion.
Yvette? it's
on our calendars already, right?
It's been a pleasure to get together with you, get to know you a little bit. And I want to return the compliment, because I've had opportunity to listen to a couple of your staff members, Russ. And
right.
I've had an opportunity to meet with your city manager. You've got some great people that also work for the City of Fife. And so I'm really looking forward to working with you.
Very good.
Thank you.
Pat,
yeah, I just, you know, I had my decades of time in the Port of Tacoma working. But I wasn't like Dick, who's been here since probably
time
the first
again.
Time it was formed.
I remember that little hill over there.
Very good.
Get deep.
Thank you very much, and we are